Okay, Perek Dalet. Perek Dalet of Pirkei Avos. So last week we spoke about the Mishnah of Me'ayin Basal La'anat HaHolech Lefnei Mi Asid Liten Din V'Cheshbon. And we pointed out that that Mishnah can be read in one of two ways. We spent some time last week learning that Mishnah in a positive way. The sad way is the way that the Mishnah simply reads. Me'ayin Basal, where do you come from? You come from a small drop of Zera. And where are you going? You're going to go back to the dirt. We're going to be consumed by creepy crawling things in the earth. Not a very lovely image. And who are you going to stand before in judgment? You're going to stand before a king who's going to have no mercy upon you. And it's a very harsh Mishnah that we studied last week. But we explained that the Mishnah actually presents itself twice. Me'ayin basa la'anat haholech lufnei mi asir liten din v'cheshvun. And then it repeats it. Me'ayin basa, where do you come from? Mitipa srucha. Where are you going? Back to the dirt. So we asked, why does it present it and introduces it and then it repeats it and gives the answers? And we explained that there's really two tracks. Yes, there's the track of the body, where the body comes from a very small place, and the body's going to return to not much more than a little bit of dirt. Right? And the judgment is going to be a strict judgment. That is one approach to life. But we explained that there's a second approach to life where you don't really have to even answer the questions. The first time it presents the questions. Me'ayin basa, where do I come from? My soul comes from Tachas Kisei HaKavod. Where am I going? I'm going to this world on a mission for the creator of the universe to bring Mashiach. And who's going to judge me? Not only a melech who's going to be strict and demanding, but like Rabbi Akiva sings, as we'll sing hopefully in Birkat Hashem this Motzei Shabbos, as we come to the Yontif of Lag BaOmer, the famous words of Rabbi Akiva, the last Mishnah in Maseches Yoma, Lifnei mi atem mitarim. Who judges you? Avichem Shabashamayim. Not just a melech who's out to get you, but our loving Father in heaven. So we spoke about how a person has to sort of make a choice. Do I want to see myself as nothing other than flesh and blood, doomed to rot in the grave? Or do I see myself as an exalted soul on a very important mission? So I want to continue with that theme a little bit into some of the Mishnayos in this week's parak. And I want to try to not only change our perspective in terms of do I view myself as a soul or as a body, which is very nice in a theory, but I want to try to talk about how I take that idea of what I could be and I turn it into my life. That I shouldn't get stuck in the theoretical, well, you know, I come from a holy place, and in theory I'm on a holy mission, right? And I could achieve great things. That's all true. So now it's time to actually do it. It's time to achieve that reality and make that reality from the potential that each of us has been given. So let's begin with the Mishnah in source number one, the words of Ben Azai. Hu haya omer, Ben Azai would say, Al tihi vaz l'chol adam. Do not be scornful. Don't look down upon any person. Va'al tihi maflig l'chol davar. And don't oppose any matter. She'ein l'cha adam, she'ein lo shav, ve'ein l'cha davar, she'ein lo makum. Because there's nothing in the world, there's no person in the world that doesn't have his shah, has his or her moment, that sterling moment, those 15 minutes of fame, so to speak. There's no person who doesn't have that moment. Ve'ein l'cha davar she'ein lo makom. And there's no thing that doesn't have a place. Everything has a place. Everything has a place. Everything could be used in a meaningful way. Right? For some it'll be for a longer period of time, for some for a shorter period of time. But every person has a contribution to make. Everything can be used in a way that brings kvod shemayim, that brings honor to the creator of the world. So what's this Mishnah telling us? What's Ben Azai telling us? So if you look in the Rishonim, you look at the classic Mefarshim on Pirkei Avos, which you do not have on the page in front of you, you look at Rashi, you look at the Rambam, you look at Rabbeinu Yonah, that's chronological, Rashi lived before the Rambam, who lived before Rabbeinu Yonah, and they all basically have the same approach, which is, if you're smart, don't start up with people. Why? Because maybe one day you'll need them. Maybe you'll need that person to help you, or maybe that person will be in a position of authority to harm you. And if you're smart, you should make sure that you don't set yourself up to one day be the end of someone's revenge. Right? The tables are going to turn at some point. So make sure you treat people nicely, because really it'll benefit you in the long run. It'll help you. It'll avoid you pain. Right? And it's advantageous for you to think ahead a little bit. Alti vaz l'chol. You never know when that person could strike back. That person who you were bullying on the, you know, in the schoolyard in second grade is now your boss. Right? Or you end up, you know, marrying that person's sister or something like that. So plan ahead. Be smart enough not to get yourself into bad relationships because it'll come back to bite you. Okay. Someone told me this week, we were talking about this Mishnah, And he said, I always think of this Mishnah as the color war Mishnah. I said, what do you mean by the color war Mishnah? So he said, you know, it's like that kid in camp who's very shy and not really into sports like some of the others. And he said, but now it's color war. And all of a sudden there's like a project in color war. And you have to make a banner. Or they're having some type of, you know, Torah Bowl competition. And all of a sudden this kid who's so quiet, and this kid who's not an athlete, and this kid who's not as popular as some of the other kids in camp, all of a sudden this kid, right, whether it's a boy or a girl, all of a sudden this child has this unbelievable talent. They play an instrument, they're very artistic, they're very creative, and all of a sudden they do something in color war to win like 1,000 points for their team, and they win it more than the, you know, more than the kid who was like so popular and such a star athlete won a couple of points by winning a game. Alti vaz l'chol adam, don't be scornful of a person, because everyone has their moment. The person who is not clear where they're going to make their contribution, all of a sudden, sometimes they make such a significant contribution that wow, they deserve the honor. And I think it's a nicer way to look at the Mishnah. It's not just, you know, hedge your bets. Eventually someone's going to come back to get you, so you better be nice. But to really, to genuinely recognize the goodness of every Adam, of every single person, and to recognize that he's going to have his Sha'a, he's going to have his moment to shine. You know, the expression, 15 minutes of fame, I think they attribute to the artist Andy Warhol, that he had some exhibit and he put up some sign about having 15 minutes of fame. And so we talk about sometimes a person has their 15 minutes of fame. So I was looking online today. I wanted to see what the origin of it was. And apparently there's an English expression going back to the Elizabethan era. 9 days wonder. 9 days wonder. That someone has, like, you know, a good streak. There are 9 days wonder. I've never heard that expression before. Is that a common expression? Anyone know? I've heard of a one-hit wonder, you know, the artist that has like the number one hit on the radio, right? And then they never produce anything ever again. So we have such a concept, 15 minutes of fame, a 9 days wonder. But by Jews, and what this Mishnah is really hinting to on the deepest level, Alti vaz l'chol adam, because for a Jew, all it takes is a shah. So what's a shah? So you could say a shah is an hour, but a shah could also really be a moment. How else can we translate the word Sha'ah? Where's the first time we encounter the word Sha'ah in the Torah? So if you look at the second source, in Pirkei Avos, right, also in this parak, a little later on in the parak, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov says, look what a Jew accomplishes in a second. Come back to the word Sha'ah in a moment. Look what a Jew accomplishes in one act, and I'll define what an act means in a second as well. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, Omer ha'osa mitzvah achas, you do one mitzvah. Kana lo praklet echad, you create a praklet. A praklet means a defense attorney. A malach is being created. You do a mitzvah, you create a malach who's going to defend you in the court case at the end of your life. Va'over aveira achas, and a person who does a single aveira, kana lo kategor echad, acquires for himself or herself a prosecuting angel. So again, how much does a person need to do in order to do something really significant if you're a Jew? Not very much. A slight good deed, a slight misdeed, has major, major ramifications. This explains the Gemara in Maseches Makos. The Gemara in Makos says that we see, the Gemara says in source number 3, Amar Rabba Bar Rav Huna, Amar Rav Huna, and some say it was Rav Huna in the name of Rabbi Eliezer, Min HaTorah, Min HaNeviim, Umin HaKsuvim. In all of Tanakh, we could show you a source in Torah, a source in Neviim, a source in Ksuvim. B'derech She'adam Rotza Leilech, the path that you want to pursue, Mo lichin oso, they will lead you upon. Who's they? Who's going to lead you upon this path? For example, I gave you one of the examples. The Gemara gives an example from Torah and from Neviim and from Ksuvim. The example from Torah is Bilam. Hashem comes to Bilam. Bilam says, God, can I go with these? Can I go with this chevra? No. Lo teilechi maham. You shouldn't go with them. So Bilam says, but I really want to go with them. Okay, fine. So kum leichitam. So go with them. Right? Meaning, well, you get what you want in this world. If you push enough, you're going to get what you want. And it's not always advantageous. But if you read the Gemara precisely, the Gemara says, the path that a person chooses, they will lead him. Who's they? Who's going to lead him? The world's going to lead him? Who's the they? Molichin in the plural. So the Marsha in the back of the Gemara, in source number 4, comments. And the Marsha says, I'll tell you who the they is. It's the Mishnah that we just read in this week's parak. You do a single mitzvah, you get a malach. You do an aveira, you get a negative malach. Says the Marsha. He says in source number 4, "Biderech she'adam rotza leilich molichin oso." Ayin b'zeb mafarshim. The mafarshim have explanations. Ve'aneh gam ani chalki, and I'll tell you what I have to say. It doesn't say the path that you choose, He will lead you upon, God will lead you upon. Ela molichin oso, plural. They will lead. Who's the they? Who's carrying you through this world? Vehu al pi ma shekasav nu b'kav makomos. It's what I've explained in several places. Shekol, now look at these words. Shekol machshava v'dibor umaisa. Every thought you have, every word you utter, every action that you do, hinei hu bore lo malach lefi inyano im letov im lera. Every thought that enters your mind is creating a malach. Every word that comes out of your mouth is creating a malach. Every action you do, every move you make through this world, as a Jew, your life is so super significant that every single move that you make is being watched and it's having immediate results. Things are being created, not things that our eyes can see, which is one of the challenges of learning to think like a Jew and to speak like a Jew and to act like a Jew. But the reality that Chazal are revealing to us is if we had spiritual eyes to see, and some tzaddikim do have such eyes to see, and can tell you that this is the reality, you would realize that every move you make is very, very significant. Val Kain, and therefore, what does the Gemara say? Biderech she'adam rotza leilech, the path that you want to walk upon, you have free will. Shaharishus bidei adam imenu yisbarach barachu. Hashem gives you free will. You choose the life that you want. But realize the choices you make are going to create a pattern. A pattern of what? A pattern of angels that are going to be escorting you through this world. And if you surround yourself, the same way you surround yourself with good friends and good neighbors and good family members, right? As much as we can control that. Yeah? So then, okay. So then it makes it easier. It makes it easier that if you have similar values, it makes it easier to work together. If you surround yourself with bad friends and bad neighbors and a bad community, so it's going to make it much harder to go up against the rest of the world. So too, Hashem says, I give you free choice. I want you to choose the path that you want, but realize, molichin oso, the things that you do in this world are going to create malachim that are going to escort you through this world. So just how long is a shah? Does a Jew have his, again, is a Jew a 9 days wonder? Is a Jew have 15 minutes of fame? How long is a shah? The Maharsha just told us, every move you make, every word, every thought. But let's go a step deeper. Where's the first time, like I mentioned a moment ago, where's the first time we encounter a sha'ah in the Torah? Anyone know? Where do we find the word sha'ah in the Torah for the first time? When Cain and Hevel are bringing their karbanos, and Cain is rejected, the pasuk says, ve'el Cain ve'el minchaso lo sha'ah. What does sha'ah mean in that context? To Cain and his offering, lo sha'ah. Hashem did not turn. Hashem did not pay attention. Sha'ah means to turn. So therefore, al tivaz l'chol adam, explains the Kozhnitzer Magid in source number 5, do not be scornful of any person. You know why? Where it's bolded, she'ein l'cha adam, she'ein lo sha'ah. Because adam, as we said last week, the word adam specifically refers to the Jewish people. The level of soul, the level of godliness inside of us makes our every move so significant that one shah, one turn, one move, right, one motion, one word, one thought is so powerful that don't start up with any Jew. Don't be scornful of any Jew. Because what a Jew can do to move the outer world with a single twist of his or her body, with a single action, with a single word, it's unbelievable. She'ein l'cha adam, she'ein lo shah. Don't you realize that in a single sha'ah, in a single turn, a Jew can change the course of history? HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't turn towards Cain. Al Cain vel minchaso lo sha'ah. Shenitin biyad kol adam, the end of source number 5, 2 lines from the end. Shenitin biyad kol adam habachir v'aratzon l'shuv l'baro. Because in a second, you could be the Jew who's the farthest away from Hashem, and in a single turn, in a single move, all of a sudden, you're back to Hashem. Like the Rambam's beautiful words in Hilchos Teshuvah. Yesterday, you were a nobody, and you were rejected, and you were a horrible Jew. And you woke up today and you said, you know what, Hashem, I'm changing my ways. Good. And in a second, all of a sudden, we just finished today. Today was our last day of the official day of Yeshiva and YU. We learned Maseches Kedushin this year. The Gemara talks about a person who says, a man who says to a woman, behold, you are betrothed to me, harei an mekudeshesli, al manas, on condition that I'm a tzaddik. So we look at this guy and we say, you know, is that a marriage? You have a reputation. You're not a tzaddik. Certainly not a tzaddik gomor. Not a complete tzaddik. And yet, you know what the halach is? When a person says, according to the Gemara, when a person says, behold, you are betrothed to me on condition that I'm a great tzaddik. Mikudeshes, mazel tov, mazel tov. Right? This bum, all of a sudden he's a tzaddik, and you know what the answer is? The Gemara says, why? Maybe he heard about tshuva. Maybe for a second he had a thought of tshuva, and that changed everything. That's the power a Jew has. That's what it means, a shah. She'ein l'chadim she'ein lo shah. Shah means to turn. With one turn, with one slight move, a Jew could change everything. A Jew could change all of reality. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is watching us so closely, so carefully. Hashem counts us many times in the Torah. Hashem has this thing, he's into counting the Jewish people. That's an expression of his love for us. He counts us at the end of Vayigash, he counts us at the beginning of Shemos. Chumash Bamidbar begins in Hashem again, the book of Numbers, Hashem is counting. Says Rashi at the beginning of Chumash Bamidbar, again not on the page in front of you, he says, why is Hashem counting us all the time? Hashem, you counted us already. Stop counting us so much. Says Rashi, Mitochi Basan, because He loves us so much, Mona Osam Kol Shah. Hashem is counting us all the time, constantly. Kol Shah, all the time. But I heard once an explanation from the Rebbe of Kamarna, where he said, no. You know what it means on a deeper level? Because Hashem loves us so much, He counts Kol Shah. Hashem counts kol shah. Hashem is paying attention to every move that you're making. Hashem is mindful, kiviyachol. Hashem is mona, Hashem counts, Hashem is recording, Hashem is following you around. And He's paying attention to kol shah because He loves you so much. He pays attention to every little move that a person makes in this world. So this is a much more positive way. Again, 2 weeks in a row, Baruch Hashem. We've got to do it one more time and then we'll know that everything that was ever said by Chazal is meant to be absorbed in a positive way. Right, you can read this mission again, like Rashi and the Rambam and Rabbeinu Yonah, and you could say again, hedge your bets. The tables will turn, and you don't want to get a taste of your own medicine. So be smart, be nice to people, because one day you'll need that person. Or one day that person will try to get revenge against you. So be smart and plan ahead. But this mission is saying, read it this way, it's so much more profound. What we're saying here is, no. Let's talk about the inherent and essential goodness of a Jew. To be able to look at a Jew the way a Jew is supposed to be looked at, the way that Hashem looks at a Jew. The way that a tzaddik, like Rabbi Akiva, looks at a Jew. The way that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai looks at a Jew. Again, these are the days in which we find ourselves. How sad it was that the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva couldn't look at each other. They couldn't be mechabed one another. Right? They weren't able to develop that spiritual eyesight for one another. A Jew has to believe in the simplest way. And again, this is not just a nice idea from the Rebbe of Kamarna, from the Kozhetz or Magid. You can write this off as, it's a nice Chassidus of art. This is the Metzias, this is the halachic reality with which we wake up in the morning. The Rambam teaches us how to wake up in the morning. The Rambam tells us in Hilchos Tshuva, how am I supposed to view my life? Now don't be overwhelmed by this, be empowered by this. You can easily shut down and say, this is crazy. I can't be held accountable for every thought and every word and every action. It's too much. I'm not cut out for that. We are cut out for that. We have to sometimes challenge ourselves to rise a little higher. Says the Rambam in source number 6. The Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva. The Rambam says, this is the way that a Jew has to look at a day in the life of a Jew. Lefichach, therefore. Tzarich kol adam sheyira atzmo kol hashana kula. See, we think, as Sarah Simei Tshuva, we get very serious, right? We get very from, we do the Pas Yisrael thing, and we get very religious. And we start taking on all sorts of chumras. There's times of the year where we try to impress Hashem. Which of course all the Sfarim say this is a strange practice. That on the books, the Shulchan Aruch says, even if all year round, you eat kosher bread that's not baked by a Jewish baker, which is fine. There's something called paspalter shel nachri. Right? It wasn't baked by your non-Jewish neighbor. It was baked in a commercial way. So that's why it has an OU on it. But now, okay, during the Saras Mei Tshuva, Shulchan Aruch says you should be extra stringent. You should eat only Pas Yisrael. But you know, you're not changing your ways. You're going back to the regular stuff right afterwards. You're not looking for the little extra Pas Yisrael on the box. So I'm trying to fake out a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Trying to trick Hashem? No, what do you say? What does Team Gantra say? You fake out, it's just, right? Let's be honest. We're not Pas Yisrael Jews. Not yet. Okay. So what are we pretending? What are we pretending? We're tricking Hashem? So the truth is, the Rambam says, the Saras Mei Tshuva is not the only time we take ourselves seriously. The Rambam says a person needs to see himself kol hashana kula, the entire year, ki'ilo chetzio zakai v'chetzio chayv. The same way we walk around during the Saras Mei Tshuva with that feeling that my life is hanging in the balance and these next 10 days are going to determine everything that happens this year. So really every day of the calendar year is supposed to be like that. And I have to look at the world as hanging in the balance. The world is 50-50. And I look at myself as my next move is going to tip the scales, not just for my personal world, but for the world at large. If I do an Aveira, I destroy myself and the entire universe. That's how I have to see myself. Why? I've done Aveiras and the world seems to be doing okay. Well, I mean, the world's not so great, but the world still exists. It didn't go back to Tova Vohu. But the spiritual reality is, even if it's not our physical world that I see with my physical eyes, when a Jew does an Aveira, we're destroying worlds. When we do a mitzvah, we're building worlds, we're creating malachim. So the Rambam says, you do one Aveira, you've damaged yourself, and you've tipped the scales against the entire universe. V'garam lo hashchasa. You've caused a terrible destruction. Awesome mitzvah achas. But if I can motivate myself to do even a single mitzvah, harei achrias atzma b'skol ha'olam kula l'kaf schus. V'garam lo v'lahem teshuva v'atzala, I save the world. And what pasuk does the Rambam quote? Shenamar, v'tzadik yesod olam. Tzadik is the foundation of the world. So again, you'll say to the Rambam, that's very nice for a tzaddikim. But I told you the Gemara a second ago in Maseches Kedushin, that if you say, I want to marry this girl, almanas, that I'm a tzaddik, we take you seriously. Because the truth is, va'amich kulam tzaddikim, like the Navi says. A Jew has to walk around and say, yes, I am tzaddik yesod olam. I am the righteous individual who upholds not just, again, my olam katan, my spiritual world, not just my little miniature universe, which is also a big deal, but I'm responsible for the entire universe. I am the tzaddik. Yesod Olam is a term we use for the most outstanding righteous people. Yosef HaTzaddik. Tzaddik Yesod Olam. You say the Baal Shem Tov was a tzaddik Yesod Olam. The Vilna Gaon was a tzaddik Yesod Olam. Every Jew is a tzaddik Yesod Olam. You wake up in the morning. You pick up your sitter. You start the daven. Birchas HaShachar. Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam. Shalo Asani Goy. Thank you Hashem for making me a Jew. What's the kavana that I'm happy to be a Jew? Let's say I woke up, yeah? Let's say I'm a Jew and I woke up, and I woke up one morning and I don't feel well, and I don't have, my parnassa is not working out, you know, and I got into a fight with my wife the night before, and my kids are being disrespectful to me, right? And now I look at my non-Jewish neighbor, and he's out nice and early, it's like raining on my side of the fence, and he's outside, it's sunny on his side, he's got his lawnmower, he's got his cup of coffee in hand, he's smiling, his wife says, oh honey, come on in, I made you a beautiful breakfast, and this Jew, this schleppy Jew, gets out of bed in the morning, and he says, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, Shalom Asani Goy. This guy's got it good. And I, on top of all that, I have to be worried that what? Hashem is piling 613 mitzvahs on top of my head. So what's the kavana when I say a bracha? Again, Safek brachos lahakel. If I can't say it and mean it, then I shouldn't say it. If I have a doubt about a bracha, the halacha is, when you have a doubt about a bracha, I can't remember, I'm drinking my coffee. Did I make a bracha on my coffee? I can't remember. So what am I supposed to do? Safek brachos lahakel. I do not make another bracha. I don't want to risk saying Hashem's name in vain. So when I get up in the morning and I say, thank you Hashem for making me a Jew. A Jew wakes up in the Warsaw ghetto. Thank you Hashem for making me a Jew. What? Maybe I would rather be a Nazi, Machshon. Why am I so happy to be a Jew on such a morning? And the answer is, the Sfarim explained, the Tzaddikim explained, that when you say that bracha, you need to think to yourself, yes, the inherent holiness, the power that I have in my soul, that every move that I make and every thought that I have and every word that I speak is so powerful, is so energized by the chelek elokami mal, by the godliness within me, that I would rather be a Jew who struggles his entire life through this world, under great oppression and great difficulty, I would rather be that than be the President of the United States of America. I guess a lot of people would rather be anything than the President. Right? But then I'd rather be that than the most elevated, most well-respected, the most successful person of the people of the world. And he could be a very fine person. We're not talking about a manuvel, a lowlife. Right? I would rather be a schleppy Jew having a really tough day than what? Than to be on top of the world and to not have a Jewish neshama. That yes, the tzaddik yisod olam is the most simple Jew. This most simple Jew has to follow this Rambam, halacha l'maisa. The Rambam's not Mesilas Yesharim. It's not a book of chizuk. The Rambam's a halachic work. The Rambam says this is reality. You wake up in the morning and you say to yourself every day, kol hashana kula. You say to yourself, chetz yozakai, chetz yochayev. The world is hanging in the balance. and Hashem's counting on me to make sure that everything's going to be okay. Someone once told me a remez. I don't like doing gematrias unless it's a phrase that's found in Chazal or in a pasuk. I don't like to use gematrias that are you know, where the phrase itself is not necessarily an official phrase within the canon of Tanakh or, you know, within the literature of Chazal. But someone once told me the gematria of Tzadik Yisod Olam, which is 430, is the same as Yehudi Pashut. Yehudi Pashut. Pashut Yid is a Tzadik Yisod Olam. 430. Yehudi Pashut, the simplest Jew, the Israeli cab driver. He's the best. You get into the cab with that Israeli guy and he starts schmoozing with you. And you say to this, but this guy's a Tzadik Yisod Olam. What makes him such a big Tzadik? Is that because he understands? He understands the neshama that he carries inside of him. He understands he has a nefesh. Nefesh is also gematria tzadik yisod olam. Nefesh is gematria Yehudi pashut. A pashut a yid. A pashut a yid is the greatest thing in the world. So that's how I want to learn this Mishnah. I want to be able to come to Pirkei Avos this Shabbos and read Al Tivaz L'chol Adam. And even if I look at the Bar Tanura, and even if I look at Rashi or the Rambam or Rabbeinu Yonah, and they're all telling us, hedge your bets. Don't get into fights with people because it might come back to haunt you one day. Let's not read it that way. Let's read it in this more exalted way. Alti vaz l'chol adam, have respect for every Jew because of the inherent holiness in every Jew. And now I want to talk about how we need to do that for ourselves. To have that respect for yourself. To take that achrayis upon yourself. To realize that Hashem has given you talents. And like I said at the beginning, we can't allow ourselves to be theoretically great Jews. We have to be actually good Jews. There's a very grave danger. When you know you have something, in theory, sometimes you bank on that ki'ilu as if I have it. It's the person who says, yeah, I could stop smoking. You've said that a lot of times. I know, but I could. If I wanted to, I really could. Are you sure you can? You claim that you can. Right? You think that you can. But if you really could, so then why haven't you done it yet? Yeah, I could do this. I could do that. Right? So if you really could, so why haven't you actualized that potential? And maybe it's because you don't have a real deep appreciation of Al Tivaz L'chol Adam even for yourself. Maybe you don't understand the achrayis that you have for the entire world, like the Rambam was describing. I have a little sefer on him. It's a tiny little sefer. It's an English little English book written by a Rabbi Kunstler on Pirkei Avos. It's called Chizkei Avos. It's a cute little English book. But I found in there an unbelievable vart. It's a tiny little thing. I read through the whole thing. This is the best idea he has in the sefer. It's on this Mishnah. Al tivaz l'chol adam. Right? Al tivaz l'chol adam. You know what that means? You know how he reads it? Al tivaz l'chol adam. If you don't reach your potential, al tivaz, don't be scornful. Right? The push-up shot. Don't be scornful. Don't look down at l'chol adam, at any person. Don't look down at any person. He says, no. L'chol adam. Al tivaz l'chol adam. Do you realize that when you fail to reach your potential, when you don't take your own life seriously, when you're satisfied, like in theory I'm a nice guy, even though I'm not such a nice guy, but I could be a nice guy, so therefore it's ki'ilu I'm a nice guy. I'm a nice person, because I could be a nice person. I'm a thoughtful person, because sometimes I think that I could be a thoughtful person. Al tibaz l'chol adam, when you don't reach your potential, when you fail to be the type of person you're supposed to be, then you're acting scornful, l'chol adam. You're an embarrassment to call adam, to humanity. When a human being doesn't take life seriously, that's an embarrassment to the potential of mankind. That's how he reads it. It's a beautiful read. Don't reject the potential of mankind. Don't walk around saying, no, tzaddik yisod olam is someone else. The Rambam says, no, this is you. You have the ability to change reality. Not to get by what I could be, but to become it. Potential is sometimes like a very dirty word. It's a scary word. Potential. Potential is that word that threatens me that I'm not becoming what I could be or what I should be. But it's also a word that has to challenge us to take achrayas for our lives. Al tibaz l'chol adam. Don't be an embarrassment to the potential of mankind. The Rambam tells us the world is counting on you. One move is going to shift the entire reality of humanity. It's easy for us to look at someone else and to say, oh, if that person, what they're going through, oh, that's easy for me. But who told you to look at them? Why aren't we looking at ourselves? So we learn another Mishnah in this week's parak. In source number 7. Ezahu gibor, what's the person, who's the one who's truly strong? Hakoveshes Yitzro. The person who conquers his Yetzirah. The Koshes Ramagin, once again, in the Avodas Yisrael, in source number 8, says, that's right. Read the words carefully. Hakoveshes Yitzro. The person who conquers his own Yetzirah. You know how easy it is to conquer someone else's Yetzirah? You know how easy it is to say, oh, well, if I was in that situation, then I would. I don't understand why they're having such a hard time with this situation. Oh, for me, that would have been... But that's not your Yetzirah. And it's not fair for you to think that you're so great because someone else's problem is not a challenge here. That's lovely. But Ezehu Gibor, true strength is what? Is taking that potential that a person has, an understanding of who I am, and actualizing it. Not living off the fact that, well, if I was in someone else's shoes, then I could do that. So I'm greater than that person, I'm greater than that person. By looking around and by assessing myself in comparison to those around me, I'm doing pretty well. Alti vaz l'chol adam. That's not the way to look at a situation. Says the Kozhnitzer Magid in source number 8. Ezehu Gibor HaKovesh is Yitzhar. What's a lomar? A person needs to be mindful of his own Yetzirah. What are my own challenges? What are my own strengths? That's what it means not to be scornful of others, of kol adam. Right? Don't be scornful of yourself. Not like foolish people do. That you see, oh, someone else is very bad at this particular midah. Well, I'm very good at that midah. So I must be doing a great job. Well, maybe that was never a challenge for you. Maybe Hashem made that was easy for you. They need to work on not speaking Lashon Hara. They need to work on motivating themselves to learn Torah. For you, that comes easily. So figure out what is your contribution. What have you worked on? What have you donated of your strength and your energy to the team? So if you look at someone else and you conquer their Yetzirah, Yashar Koch, says the Kozhnitzer Magid. But that's not what life's about. Kovish is Yitzro. Work on yourself. Focus on yourself. What am I going to offer to a Kodesh Baruch? There's a footnote in the Sefer Chafetz Chaim al-Torah. He tells a story. It says one time in the Volozhin Yeshiva, there were two boys. They were standing in the back of the yeshiva, and they were looking over, you know, a sea of Talmidim. Volozhin in its time, before it closed its doors in 1892, it was the ultimate yeshiva. So the mid-1800s, these Bachrim, they're standing there, they're looking at Volozhin, you know, in its prime, and they see hundreds of Bachrim sitting and learning. And one of them says to the other, as they're watching this scene, he says to his friend, you know, I wonder what the Yetzirah thinks about a scene like this. You know, like, we're really winning. What could the Yetzirah, like, look, these are the top Bachrim, and they're sitting, and they're learning, and they're so into it. He said, well, the Yetzirah can't, you know, he has no say in our base medrash. It's unbelievable. What could the Yetzirah possibly think when he sees such a crowd of people so committed to Hashem, and Torah, and Mitzvos? So Reb Chaim Brisker walked by. And he heard this comment. So Chaim Brisker says, you know what the Yetzirah does at a time like this? He says, how can I get two Bachrim to stand in the back while everyone else is learning and talk about, wow, I wonder what the Yetzirah is doing at a time like this? A person has to look at himself and say, what am I doing at this time? Right? Well, it's very nice that I am officially enrolled in Volozhin Yeshiva. And it's nice that the guy who I share a dorm room with is learning well. I was talking to one of the Rebbeim in YU today, and he was asking me, what are your summer projects. So I said, what are your summer projects? We were swapping different, dreams that we have, things that we probably won't actually do. But I said, one of the goals I have for the summer is just to learn Chumash and Rashi really well. I want to just sit with a Chumash and Rashi and really work on my knowledge of Chumash and Rashi. So he said, you know what, that's a beautiful goal. He said, because the average person, like Chumash Rashi? Yeah, I know Chumash Rashi. I've been learning it since I'm in first grade. I know the famous Rashis and Chumash. Everyone's like buddy-buddy with Chumash with Rashi because... over time I pick up a little bit here and there. But if I had to take a test, if I had to sit down and take a real bechina, how well do you know Chumash Rashi? Nah, Chumash Rashi, I've been, first grade I picked up a couple, and second grade and third grade a few more Rashis. So we convince ourselves, yeah, I have a kesher to Chumash Rashi. I know Chumash with Rashi, even though I don't really know Chumash with Rashi. Or it's like the person, once in a while you meet a person who, in his younger years, he learned very seriously in yeshiva, and then he went out to make a living, which is perfectly acceptable. But he drifted away from some of the desires he had to live his life in a certain way. And it happens very often. A young man, a young woman, they come back from seminary or yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, and they're very inspired. And then slowly, it sort of dissipates. Right? But they still feel that they have a kesher to it. And I'm not making fun, God forbid. But sometimes you'll meet a guy who hasn't stepped into the base medrash in 15 years, right? And in a very beautiful way, he still wants to see himself as a Ben Torah. So he says, what are you learning these days? I'm learning Bava Kama. So he says, he starts mention a sugya that he learned 15 years ago. And he's talking about, he's trying to show you, I'm still connected, even though he's not really connected. It's been 15 years since he opened up the Gemara Bava Kama. Right? But he wants to remind himself, you know, theoretically I'm above a comma kind of Jew. Even though he's not really connected to it. And that's a very dangerous thing. Because you go your whole life where on the one hand you convince yourself, you know, I'm there, but you're not really there. And that's alti vaz l'chol adam. You're rejecting the potential of mankind by rejecting your own potential. You're not taking achrayis for the whole world. You're living off of the yetzahara of your friend who you've conquered, but you haven't really conquered your own yetzahara. And that's a problem. And that leaves Klal Yisrael lacking in the Torah and mitzvos and in the angels that we're supposed to be creating. That leaves the world hanging in the balance in a very delicate and possibly very dangerous way. I'll tell you a very great story. There was a mashkiach in Bnei Brak named Rabbi Elia Landau. And he says, Hasidim used to tell the following story. He said, you know, when the communists came and they took over, they came to a villager. They wanted to test his commitment to communism. So they said to this villager, they said, if you had two houses, what would you do? So he says, two houses? One for me and one for the state. Good. Got the right answer. He said, and what if you had two tractors? They said to this villager on his farm. He said, if you had two tractors, what would you do with your two tractors? So, one for me, one for the country, one for the state, one for the motherland. Yeah? Good. They said to him, and what would you do if you had two chickens? So now he's thinking. So he said, what are you thinking about? He says, I have two chickens. I actually have two chickens. Two houses I don't have. So yeah, one for me, one for two tractors. Okay, yeah. I'm happy to give away the tractor I'll never have the money for. The two chickens I have to think for a second. Would I really give up one of the chickens? The person who says, oh, if I was a multimillionaire, I would give so much tzedakah. I don't understand. This person has millions. Why does he only give $18 checks to the tzedakah chevra who comes collecting at his door? If I was in his position, I would give millions. Right? But what do I actually have? Now I know that I have. There are certain alti baz l'chol adam. You have. You do have what to give. So how much of it are you really donating to a Kadosh Baruch Hu? How much of those kochos are you actually using to achieve your mission in this world? I'll tell you another story which is a little bit more painful. And it wasn't told in this context, but I think it's the same message. I heard from a reliable source, someone who heard from a person who was present at the time that this conversation took place. It took place in the Vad Hatzalah office at a very critical point in Jewish history, trying to figure out, you know, in the aftermath of World War II and in the ending period of World War II, three great gedolim who had learned in Slobodky Yeshiva were talking about a pressing issue in how to move Klal Yisrael forward, you know, in the footsteps of the Holocaust. So Rav Reuven Grzovsky and Rav Avram Kalmanovich and Rav Aaron Cutler were all present in this meeting. It was a very intense meeting. They had to make major decisions for Klal Yisrael. And Rav Kalmanovich got very fired up at one point. And he said to Rav Aaron Cutler would go on to build Lakewood. He said to Rav Aaron, you know, Rav Aaron, if I would have learned as much as you did, then I would be a bigger Talmud Chacham than you. I'm surprised that you have the chutzpah to disagree with me. If I would have had the years of learning that you had, now I was out doing other things for Klal Yisrael. But if I had sat in Beis Medrash, Rav Aaron, you think your Torah position is more valuable and carries more weight than mine? I'm much greater than you. Had I sat in Beis Medrash, I would know more than you. I'd be a bigger Talmud Chacham than you. So Rav Reuven Grzovsky said back to Rav Kalmanovich, he said, yeah, but Rav Aaron did learn. Rav Aaron was in the Beis Medrash. Now that was no fault of Rav Avram Kalmanovich. That's right, the delicate story. He was making important decisions for Klal Yisrael. But at the end of the day, Rav Aaron Cutler billed the hours in the Beis Medrash. And therefore, there's a certain kavod that you have to have for the person who, whether it was through his own efforts, whether it was through Siyata D'Shmai, whatever it was, at the end of the day, but he did it. It wasn't a theoretical donation of his kochos. He donated his kochos. He put in that time. And therefore, you can't say, well, I could have been a bigger Talmud Chacham than you. Because at the end of the day, Rav Aaron Cutler sat and learned. Al tivaz l'chol adam. To recognize again the potential that every single person has. I want to just end. It's late. How many people are interested in davening Maariv still? Do we have a minion in the room? Okay, good. So we'll daven Maariv in the next 3-4 minutes. But I want to end by also explaining that when you start to appreciate who you are, and you start to take achrayis for yourself, and you start to realize, yes, Sadik Yisod Olam is a Yehudi Pashut like me. And that, like the Rambam describes, the world is hanging in the balance, and I'm not going to spend my life conquering someone else's Yetzirah. When a person starts to recognize in a very deep way what I can do and what I can't do, when I become self-aware of my strengths and I take them seriously, I take achrayis for my potential, so then I also don't feel bad about the things that I can't do. I don't have to spend my life guessing, you know, well, maybe I should. No, I know what I can do and I know what I can't do. If I'm really self-aware, and that's not an easy thing to do, but if I really become self-aware, if I take my own strength seriously, then I don't have to feel bad that I'm not on that path that's not really meant for me. There's a famous quote from Einstein. Einstein apparently said, "Everybody is a genius, but if you judge a fish by its ability to climb a tree, it will live its whole life believing that it's stupid." So if you don't figure out what your thing is, and you don't embrace it, and you don't go all in on it, so you spend your whole life, right, not only thinking that you're better than you are by comparing yourself to someone else's Yetzihara, but you also end up feeling bad because you say, "Well, look, this person is so successful. The person who's doing better than me makes me feel bad because why am I not achieving?" Now, you might be focusing on the wrong thing because, again, you're not really stopping to recognize, what are my kochos? What's my mission in this world? What am I supposed to be doing? I receive an email every week from a chashuv rav in Eretz Yisrael. They send that Rav Shlomo Busso. Rav Busso is a descendant of the Baba Sali. He's a very special and holy Jew. And he sent out an email this week, this week's parsha, Dvar Torah. And in the Dvar Torah, he says, you know, you look in this week's parsha, there's a Kohen Gadol, and there's a Jew who curses and blasphemes in the name of God, and there are Levim, and there are Yisraelim. There's a lot of different types of Jews. And Kohanim have certain advantages. They get certain things for free. They also have certain responsibilities that the average person doesn't have. And everyone kind of gets what they need. You look through the parsha carefully, different people get different things that they need. So he said, I want to explain with the following mashal. And he told a great mashal. He said, imagine there was a bear. There was a bear that was wandering around in the forest for a long time, trying to find something to eat. Very unsuccessful. And the bear says, you know what? I would rather live in captivity with food than to die a hungry bear in the forest. I'm handing myself over to the zoo. Okay. So the bear shows up at the zoo. And he says, "Hi, I'd like to check in. I'm a bear." So they say, "I'm sorry, we're not looking for any bears right now. But if you'll be a monkey, we'll let you in." So he says, "I don't know how to..." "Okay, we'll teach you, you'll be a monkey." "Okay." So the zoo administrator says, "Okay, you know, you'll be a monkey." "Okay, great." So he says, "Okay, I'll be a monkey." And they're feeding him the food that they give to monkeys, and they're asking him to do all sorts of tricks that monkeys do, swinging from the trees. It's very difficult for him. He's really struggling. One day he walks past a cage, and he sees it says bears, and there's all sorts of food, and he sees this monkey sitting in this cage. So he goes over to this monkey and he said, Why aren't you eating? I see, you know, the sign says you're a bear." He says, "No, the truth is I'm a monkey, but when I showed up at the zoo, they told me that there was no openings for monkey, and they asked me, they said, if you want to get it, you want to stay here, you got to be a bear." So I took the job as a bear, but I don't, this food. So the bear said, "This is great. I'm a bear and you're a monkey, but I'm playing a monkey and you're playing, so let's switch." So big simcha. So they go to the zoo administrator. And they say, we'd like to make a proposal. You know, I'm really a bear, and this one, he's my friend here, he's really a monkey. Right? And he's been acting like a bear, and I've been acting like a monkey, so we're going to switch. So the administrator of the Jews says, "What are you talking about? There'll be no such thing. The bear will be a bear, and the monkey will be a monkey." Right? He says, "No, but I'm the real bear." And this, he says, "What are you talking about?" He said, when I showed up at the zoo, he said, "I'm really a donkey." He said, "But they were looking for a zoo administrator." So he said, I have to be the zoo administrator. So what do you think, we're going to make a hefker over here? Anyone can just be whatever they want? No. So Rav Busso says, that's a little bit like the world. Yeah? That sometimes the bear is a monkey, and the monkey is a bear, and the manager is a donkey. The manager is a real donkey. We'll say it nicely, yeah? The manager is a donkey. A person has to understand, alti baz l'chol adam, what are my strengths? And am I serious about them? What are my weaknesses? Am I serious about them? If I'm going to be serious about someone else's mitzvos, I'm going to be serious about someone else's averos, if I'm going to bank on the theoretical greatness that I could have, or I should have, or I would have, right, then I'm not really actualizing my potential in this world. As the Kotzker Rebbe used to famously say, if I am I and you are you, then I am truly I and you are truly you. But if I'm only I because of you, and you're only you because of I, then I'm not really I and you're not really you. Then no one's really, we're all a bunch of phonies. So I want to just end by being makasher this idea to Lag BaOmer. Because Lag BaOmer, we learn about Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. And Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is the greatest person, the most self-aware. Al tibaz l'chol Adam, talk about the word Adam, we sing in the song Bar Yochai, Nasa Adam namar bavarecha. When Hashem said, Nasa Adam, let us make Adam, a person who's going to take his achrayis very seriously, a person who's going to develop his potential in the most serious way. And it took him some time. Shimon was a little bit lopsided the first time he came out of the cave. He didn't have the right perspective. But he went on to become the greatest, the deepest Talmud Chacham, the greatest lover of the Jewish people, the most connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the holy Tana, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, of a different caliber. Alti baz l'chol Adam. Let's come to the Yom Tov Lag Ba'Omer and understand who this Adam, Nasa Adam Nemar Bavarech is, who Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is. So I want to conclude with the final source. It's a piece from the Sefer Eretz Tzvi. Eretz Tzvi is the Kodesh Glover. Rabbi Aryeh Tzvi Fromer, he was one of the Rosh Yeshiva in Chachmei Lublin. He died in the Holocaust. Shem should avenge his blood. And he writes in Parshas Vayeshev. He writes a very interesting thing. He quotes a Medrash. The Medrash says, Vayonas Vayetze Hachutza, Bizchus Avos. How did Yosef find the strength to run away from Eshes Potiphar? Vayonas Vayetze Hachutza. He fled and he ran outside as Eshes Potiphar was trying to seduce him. And B'derech HaTeva, it would have been perfectly natural and understandable, sold out by his brothers, forgotten by his father, a handsome young man being seduced by a beautiful woman, all alone in a place called Ervas Haaretz, a place of sexual immorality like Mitzrayim. We would understand if Yosef would have given in to that temptation. And yet he had superhuman strength to overcome all of that. Says the Medrash, where did he get the strength to run outside? It reminds us of another pasuk, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took Avram also outside. And he took him what? Above and beyond the heavens, the spheres. Right? Say me it's tagninus shalcha. Avram, you don't think you could have a child? Well, you're not bound by teva. And he goes on in this piece and he describes how as Jews we have to believe in our ability to be what? Lamala min ha-teva. Lamala min ha-teva. Alti baz l'chol adam, if we understand that it wasn't only Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai who Hashem said nasa adam about. You could be an unbelievable adam. But it's each and every one of us. That we're also creating malachim with the words that we say. And we're also creating malachim with the thoughts that we think. And we also, every sha'a, every turn, every move that we make is being watched by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, the same way that Avram was taken, chutz l'malam min ha-teva, Yosef HaTzadik said, you know what, I'm part of that chain, I come from the Avos. And every Jew has to see himself or herself as being l'malam min ha-teva, completely beyond. That's why the Sfarim say, Moshe Wolfson says, and I'll end with this remez, Moshe Wolfson says, the gematria of Lag Ba'Omer is the same gematria as l'malam min ha-teva. Lag Ba'Omer gives us the ability to believe in something that's so beyond this world. Whether it's the secret of writings of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai revealing the secrets of the Torah, like a Torah you never saw before. But we also pause and we say, hold on a second. One of those letters in the Torah is me. Which means that just as this letter can be understood to contain unbelievable, profound, deep secrets, so maybe my life can as well. Maybe there's an unbelievable potential that I have inside that's just waiting to be developed. So Mirtz Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help us. Not to spend our life rationalizing who we could be, or who we should be, or how much better we're doing compared to someone else's Yetzihara, or how if I was in that situation, I would be like this, or I would do that. Let's just try to be the people that we're supposed to be. Alti baz l'chol adam. She'ein l'cha adam, she'ein lo sha. Have a wonderful Shabbos, and a good Yontif. Enjoy Lag Ba'Omer.